Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message. 2 Peter 3, 1-9. The day of the Lord. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Verse 3, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, well, where is the coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present, heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. And verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Amen. If you believe the word of the Lord, why don't you say amen as you find your seat. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you are taking notes, and I sure hope you are taking notes, because this is one of those things that these messages that are going to require you to go back and come up with an action plan to do something. Today, I've entitled this message, Ready for Love. Ready for Love. You see, last Sunday we unveiled, as Terrence reminded us, the vision for this church. And we started this conversation about the Lord is coming. And I think a lot of people hear that the Lord is coming, and one of the first things that they think about is when. And some people probably think, you know, it's not going to happen in their time. That, you know, it's a long time from now. But I'm here to tell you today that we can't think that way, because time is one of those things that is not absolute. And we read about that in the previous verses, but time is something that is so abstract. Now, I'm an 80s kid. Shout out to the 80s kids out there. Anybody from the 80s in here? Okay, so we're alone here. All right, well, I'm a proud 80s kid, you know. And one of my favorite movies in the 80s was Back to the Future. Anybody into Back to the Future? So Back to the Future was a 3-part series, and the theme was all about traveling back in time, or and even into the future. It's about time travel. And so there's this mad scientist. He's like the town's mad scientist. He's invented this time machine out of a DeLorean. And he convinces this teenager that's in town to help him test it out. And so this teenager named Marty, he jumps into this DeLorean, and he travels back in time. He travels back in time, but accidentally, he interferes with his mother and father's relationship. So their would-be romance is interrupted. And so he ends up with a series of issues and events to try and make sure that they do meet so that he remains in existence. Because if they don't fall in love and get married, then he would cease to exist. And so the movie is all about, you know, Doc and Marty going back and forth in the future. And as they fix one thing, something else goes wrong because they messed with time. And when you mess with time, it's like a whole chain reaction. So I'm watching this movie because it just came on this past week. And I was thinking, man, time is one of those things that is so funny and it's so abstract, isn't it? Did you know that there are 24 different time zones in this world? And December, Terrence and I, you know, we went, we traveled and we went to Greece as one of the places that we went. I mean, summer was, don't y'all think like it's crazy that we're already in like, we're about to be celebrating the holidays. Man, time is crazy. But this summer, we got the opportunity to go to Greece. And, you know, we were all excited and everything. And we're at the airport and we're looking at our tickets and we're like, yo, isn't it funny that we're actually going to be traveling back in time because Greece, no, we're going to be traveling to the future because Greece is actually 7 hours ahead of Florida. And then when it was time for us to go come back home, it was like, oh, my God, we're going to be traveling back from the future when we're on our way back from. Isn't that a crazy thought? See, time is relative, isn't it? Time is relative. One day, you know, we feel like days are too short, and then another day we're complaining that days are too long. I mean, you know how I know? Think about Mondays. Doesn't it seem like Mondays just never end? But then Fridays just fly by? They both have the same amount of hours, but they feel so different, don't they? Our perspectives change the perception of time. Or maybe, you know, maybe some of you guys in this room, raise your hand if you've been married for a while. They're tired. Their hands are too tired to lift them up high. Come on, make us look good, us married people. You know, some of you guys have been married for a while. Maybe some of you guys are in the midst of a new relationship. Doesn't it feel like, or maybe those that were married for a while, let's go back to when we were dating. Didn't it feel like that first kiss just lasted forever? Oh, it was good. And didn't it, you know, you'd be on the phone all the time and it felt like minutes, but then you look up and you realize it's been hours. No, you hang up. A moment apart was far too long for lovers. And and let's think about, maybe you're not in love. Maybe you have best friends or cousins. Doesn't it feel like even if you haven't seen them in such a long time, when you finally see them again, it's like the next day since the last time you saw them? When you love somebody, that's how it feels, right? Conversations just pick up where they left off. Jokes are still funny. Everything is all good. You see, I believe that's because love transcends time. 1 Peter 3:8, we read that. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. You see, God is love, and love transcends time. See, God can't be contained by minutes and hours. He's bigger than time. His perspective is way up here. He can't fathom time the way that we do. We can't even understand his perception or perspective of time. So when we hear that the Lord is coming, we shouldn't be so concerned by the date and the time, because the Bible says it, that we have to be on guard because we do not know when that time will come. And that's in Mark 13:33. This verse should warn us against trying to figure out the date and time of his coming, because that doesn't really matter to God. What matters to God is that you're ready when he actually does come. Amen? God has notified us through his word and through the spirit that lives inside of you and all of us that he is coming. The question that I want to pose to you today is, are you ready? Are you ready? Today, I'm going to urge you with some thoughts. And these are not just thoughts for you to just think about. These are thoughts that should prompt you into action. Amen? Amen. It's going to be a little hard. It was hard for me. I got to be honest. Man, I struggled all week with this word, because these are things I'm preaching to myself here. I'm preaching to myself. It's not easy. The life that we're called to live is not an easy one, but it's all worth it. Amen. Amen?
So as we're getting ready for the Lord's coming, here's the first thought I want you to not even consider, but act on. You can't afford to procrastinate. I got a 9-year-old. Some of you who have been here for a while, you hear the Vava stories. Well, here's another one. Y'all gonna hear these stories forever because she's gonna live for a long time. So here's another Vava story. Vava has been playing the piano for a couple years now, and she's 9 now. And, you know, she's getting really good at it. She's got a gift. The teacher has said she's got a gift, and she's doing good. I wouldn't say that she's into it. She kind of just does it because we make her do it. But she loves it because I said so. But anyway, so the instructor the other day pulls us aside and she tells us, you know, Vava has plateaued. What that means is that she's not getting worse, but she's also not progressing. She's not getting any better. And she attributed that to her lack of practice. She said that Vava isn't practicing enough. And so her remedy for that was that she was going to put her on a practice schedule. And she printed out a chart for us, and there's 5 spaces in the chart. And every day, Vava is responsible for practicing 30 to 45 minutes a day. And when she does that, she needs to come to us with this chart so that we can sign off on it so that, you know, to verify that she actually did her 30 to 45 minutes. And so, you know, we started on week 1 and everything was all good. The first day, you know, she did her thing and we signed it off and it was all good. It was all great. And then day 2 was all great too. We signed off on it. By day 3, the week just went crazy. And just like, it was just a hot mess. And then she missed the day. She missed her practice day. But, you know, there's more days in the week. She just needs to make 5, right? Just 5. Wednesday comes again. I mean, Thursday comes again. She misses practice. Friday, again. Now, Saturday is her actual lesson. And she still has 3 days that she hasn't practiced. So she figures it out, and she's like, oh, man, I got to practice. And she tries to squeeze in those 3 days of practice into to right before her lesson. And so, you know, she brings over that chart so that we can sign off on it. And, you know, me as a great parent as I am, I just sign off on it because I'm like, well, the teacher didn't know when she did it. Not my proudest parenting moment, but I ain't want to get in trouble. I ain't do nothing. Teacher's scary. So of course she goes through her lesson, and you know the teacher comes to us, and I'm like, oh snap, she wants to have a conference with us. She's like, you know, usually she just leaves. You know, we do the classes, the practices, the lessons happen in our home. Usually she just bolts out the door. This time she wanted to talk to us. And I was like, ooh, Terrence, you in trouble. You go talk to her. So she pulls us aside and she says, you know, Vava hasn't really progressed this week, and I'm pretty sure it has something to do with her practice schedule. She's like, let me see the chart. We show her the chart, and she says, mm-hmm. And as she explains to us, you know, why the importance of practice, she told us that there is a direct correlation between the days and the time that is spent practicing, that her development, the development of her skill, is directly related to the amount of time that she practiced. And the time that she takes would help her to see the little nuances in playing the piano, and that would make her a more skillful piano. So Vava thought that she could just rush through the lesson, through the practice sessions right before the lesson, but how many of y'all know progression doesn't work that way?
That's right.
See, her procrastination killed her progression. See, procrastination affects our daily lives. Every single day, we have an opportunity. God wants us to live out our best lives every single day. And when we procrastinate, we miss out on the opportunity to live a purpose-driven and fulfilling life because we aren't spending enough time practicing in prayer and devouring our word. See, we think we have more time. We're just going to hit that snooze button when we should be praying, when we should be getting up and feeding our spirit. But in Proverbs 27:1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow. In other words, we don't have tomorrow. We don't have time, for you don't know what a day is going to bring. Some of us think, oh, you know, I'll get my life right, and then, you know, then I'll get saved. But in Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. And if they wash every cloud, they'll never harvest. It's always a good time to get saved. There is no perfect time better than right now to get saved. Amen? Some of us think, oh, well, I'll just live my best life. I just want to live my best life, and then I'm going to get saved. But I'm here to tell you today that you are mistaken if you think you're living your best life without Jesus. My question to you is, how can you be living your best life without life itself? Because 1 John 5:12 tells me that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. See, you can't live your best life without Jesus. Amen? See, when you have guests coming over, what do? You got to clean up, right? You got to clean that house, make sure everything's on point so that when they come in, they feel comfortable and they appreciate your space. And when you do it right, you just, you know, you feel proud, don't you? You start feeling, yeah, my house is right. Especially when they appreciate it. You give them the tour. You know you did a good clean when you like, let's do the tour. When you ain't do that tour, you're going to be like, we're going to skip this part right here. Here's the living room, and that's it. Or, I don't know, maybe think about a wedding. I know when I was getting ready for my wedding day, I spent months and months in the gym. Be careful, Terrence. Tread lightly. But I know I spent months and months in the gym, and oh, I was snatched. I was so tired. Hair was done, nails, everything was done. Edges was so laid. I mean, I was looking right. I was confident that I looked so good. I looked my best for my groom. You see, special occasions motivate us to look our best, don't they? But the Lord is coming, guys. What is a more special occasion than that? That should motivate us to be at our best. Every single day we have an opportunity to live our lives to the fullest because we know that the Lord is coming. Why don't we live our best life now, preparing and being ready for the Lord? Because how many of y'all know, if you get ready, that means you're at your best. Now, if you're at your best, you're ready for the Lord. Why can't we live our best life now, expecting the Lord every single day? Is Jesus not motivation enough? How many of y'all want to live your best life every day, expecting the return of the Lord? But you can't be your best if you're waiting until the last minute. Don't let your procrastination expose your lack of preparation. Don't get caught off guard because the Lord is coming. The next thing I want you to really, really consider is that things can't continue as they are. Verse 3 told us, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, well, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. The Message version says it a little different. First off, you need to know that in the last days, mockers are going to have a heyday. Hate is gonna hate. That's the Negro International Version. Reducing everything to the level of their puny feelings. They be all up in their feelings. They'll mock. So what happened to this promise of his coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, and everything's going on just as it has from the first day of creation. Nothing has changed. But how can you say that nothing has changed, and how can things remain the same when we experience and we see things like racism and violence and evil every single day? It's even more just desperate today. We see our world is literally dying from pollution and waste and global warming, deforestation. When so many people still don't have access, they don't have access to clean water today, worse than they have before. When we're getting reports just yesterday that there are still thousands of people that are missing in the Bahamas, unaccounted for. And we all see the headlines of the death tolls and the fact that parts of the island have been completely wiped out. Things cannot go on as they were. And did you know that Florida is ranked number three, right, in the entire U.S. for sex trafficking? Wow. Things cannot continue as they were. Every day we read, see, and hear and share all kinds of news about something tragic going on in the world. And if we're not careful, we can become desensitized to it all. Thinking that, you know, the problem is too big. It's bigger than me. The problem is too far. It doesn't affect me. See, that's where the enemy wants us. The enemy wants us to be complacent and do nothing. Business as usual. Life goes on. That's not your problem. That's where the enemy wants us. But that's not where Jesus is calling us to. Jesus is asking and calling us to, not even asking. Our jobs as believers is for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus and make a difference every single day, everywhere that we are. Come on, y'all. If y'all gonna clap, clap. That is a real thing. Each and every one of us have been called to help people and to make our world, even if it's our direct sphere of influence, better than it is. See, the world needs believers that will stand up and do something in a world that says, continue business as usual. Things will continue as they were. You see, a long time ago, I heard this, and I don't remember where it came from, but it was that, and I never forgot this, and it is that if you see a problem, chances are you're the one that's supposed to be the answer to it. You are the answer. If you see people in your community down and out, you're the answer. Do something. It's better that you do something than you do nothing. Right. Jesus, the God that lives inside of you, can help you do anything, anything. There is nothing that the Lord has not overcome. John 16:33 tells us that in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? Amen? Amen. With Jesus, there's nothing that you can overcome in this world. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get involved. Don't look around and shrink back because a problem is too big, because nothing is too big for the God that's inside of you. Amen? Amen. Be encouraged. I don't say all those things to bring you down or depress you or feel like, you know, oh, the world is just going to hell and everything is bad. I say those things to say, hey, there's a lot of things that you can be doing to help the world around you. Amen? Amen? You know what the will of the Lord for our life is? You know what the will for you, what God's will is for you is to transcend. Transcend. That means is to be more than human. Wow. You see, our human flesh, our flesh, wants what it wants. It wants to sleep another hour and not feel the Spirit. It wants to be lazy. It wants to quench all of its desires and pleasure. It wants to be right all the time. It wants to hurt those that hurt it. It wants to sleep around with any and everybody. It wants to drink itself into oblivion and do all kinds of crazy drugs so it's numbed. It wants what it wants. That's what the flesh wants. That's just being human. It wants what it wants because the flesh is sinful. But how many of y'all know that you are just not? You are not all flesh. You are also spirit. Amen? And when you call and activate the Holy Spirit, you can overcome the flesh. Amen? I hope you feel that. I hope you know that. Because every day we have a choice to either live as flesh or live in the Spirit. See, I want you to consider this. The Lord has actually breathed his breath into our nostrils. Can you imagine that? That means we actually have his breath running inside of us. Physically. There are 8.7 million species on this planet, and we are the only ones with God breath inside of us. Consider that. How different can you look to your left and right and look at a person knowing that you're looking at God? How different would you treat that person? The one who you look at as nothing, or the one that annoys you, or the one that did you wrong. How different do you look at them when you say, wow, there is God in that person? The Lord is coming, but as a matter of fact, the Lord is here. He is here every single day. See, we can't afford to procrastinate. Things can't continue as they were. But lastly, we need to be watching and working. Good. Y'all can come back. Revelation 16:15 says, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as to not go naked and be shamefully exposed. You know, I gotta admit, when every time I would read that, I would get tripped up at the word thief, because I'm like, well, my God is not a thief. I just don't even like that sentence, the fact that he would be in the same. It just bothered me. It really did. And so because it bothered me so much, every time I would read that piece of scripture, I just thought, man, why is it? I just started to ask myself, like, why does it bother me? And I'm like, yeah, it's thief. I just don't like that. And so I was prompted to pray about it, and I felt like the Holy Spirit really spoke to me in such a strong way. And he said that we prepare to protect our stuff against the coming of thieves, but we don't prepare our souls for the coming of the Lord. We get all kinds of security systems and alarms, and we got snipers on the roof and doing all this extra stuff just so that they can watch our stuff. But are we as intent in watching out for the Lord? I know listen, I'm preaching to myself here. It seems like we're more prepared for thieves that come for our temporary things than we are for the Lord who is eternal. Because I know that the God that I serve is the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. What are we doing to get ready for the Lord who is eternal? We got to stop living like our stuff is more important than our soul. You got to watch out for the Lord, because he is coming. But while we're watching, we also got to be working. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, I want you to underline that he is patient with you. Continue underlining all the way to the end, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Last week, we already talked about it, that we unveiled the 20-year vision of this church, that we want 1 million families saved in 20 years. That equates to about 3 million people. Wow. And a lot of us, including myself, we're like, wow, that's a lot of work, isn't it? But I think a lot of us got this twisted. We got this thing twisted, thinking that it's the work just for pastors and people that work in the church. Might I submit to you that it's your job too? Each and every one of us have to account for the work that matters to the Lord. And I know a lot of people probably don't like that, but the reality is that what matters to the Lord is not that you amass more stuff. While that's great, it's great that you want a new house, or maybe you're a first-time homebuyer. That's great, that's nice, but that's not what matters most to God. I'm sorry. Yeah, your wedding day is important, but it ain't the most important thing to God. What matters most to God is in his word. It's not wanting anyone to perish and everyone to come to repentance. What is he saying? He doesn't want anybody to die, because the alternative is it's either repent or die. And that's what matters to me. This is a life or death situation for God. This is a call to action for us. It starts at repentance, but that's just the beginning. We just got the job. We got accepted. We got the job offer. It's there. So now we got to do the work.
Right.
Amen. The work that we have to do is that we have to spread the gospel. Now, does that mean that we need to stand on a soapbox in the middle of Times Square preaching the word of God? I mean, if that's what you want to do, have at it. Knock yourself out. Do that thing. You know, it's all good. But we have an opportunity in every area of our lives, every single day, in our sphere of influence, at work, in grocery stores, in gas stations, everywhere that we are, God presents opportunities for us to share his word with people. Maybe it's through the loving help. Maybe it's through showing the love of Jesus in what you do and helping another person. The Bible says that the poor will always be among us. The widows and the orphans will always be there. There is work to be done, guys. There is work to do. We can't sit around and think that business is going to continue as usual, because we've got work to do. See, maybe it's about praying for somebody that, you know, you're not really comfortable praying for, but maybe you saw them. You saw that hurt. That means you're the answer. You pray for them. Don't be looking for no pastor to go pray for them. You pray for them. You saw them. Amen? My prayers are not more powerful than yours. As long as your heart is right, you can pray for somebody just as well. Maybe it's about forgiving somebody who doesn't deserve any kind of forgiveness from you. They did you wrong. They don't deserve it. But how about we transcend how we feel and do what God would do? Because the truth is, you're forgiven. None of us deserve God's forgiveness. But yet we have it, don't we? How are we to look at another person and say, they don't deserve our forgiveness? Well, you don't deserve God's love, but he still loves you every single day. These are the opportunities that we have. You know, try something, do something. Pick 1, 2, 3, 5 things. Do something, guys. Because the Lord is coming. I'm not. You got to get to work so that you can hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. But I want you to hear me today. Well done. Done implies that you did something. Done requires work. The Lord is coming. We can't just be waiting and watching. We got to be working. I want you to please join me in closing my eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. I want you to imagine him saying your name one day. I know I want to hear him say my name. I want to hear those words. Joanne, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my motivation. That's my motivation. I pray that that's your motivation. You see, I get so emotional just thinking about that. Because I imagine that day, I'm standing right in front. I'm looking face to face with my Lord and Savior. And I want nothing else but just to please him and just to do what he wants me to do. I want to hear those words that I did a good job, that I did what he wanted to. Just understand that. His passion, his desire, his will is that you don't die. Hear his heart. Hear these words. Hear the pleas. He does not want you to die. Imagine him standing face to face with you. don't want to be ashamed when you're standing face to face with him. You want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You don't want him, or you don't want to feel ashamed when you stand before him because you weren't ready. I want to leave you with this last verse that says, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have the confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. We don't want to feel shame when we're standing in front of him. We have the opportunity every single day to do what matters to Jesus. My question to you today is, are you ready? What are you doing each and every day that matters to Jesus? You don't own that house, that car, those things that you hold so dearly and that you spend so much time protecting. The only thing that you really own are your decisions. What are you going to do that matters to Jesus every single day? That's the question. That's the decision that you need to make every single day. As Terrence comes up here and closes, I pray that this message doesn't trouble you or scare you. But if it does, it's probably because deep down inside, you probably feel like you're not ready, or you know that you're not ready. Maybe you've been running from Jesus. Maybe you've been walking by things that you know you should, that the Spirit is pulling at you to be a part of the solution to. If you're not longing to see Jesus, then you've gone too comfortable with sin. This message should excite the believer. It should excite the lover of Jesus, because you know that you are ready for love. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
With every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.